Will you take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20? We're in a series of messages on the Ten Commandments this morning. Actually, this fall. And this morning, we're on the fifth commandment. Remember I said earlier, a couple of weeks ago, that the commandments are divided into two. The first four commandments concern how it is that we relate to God. The second six, and that's where we begin this morning with the fifth commandment concerned how it is that we relate to others. So let's take a look at that this morning. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now we understand that in our own context, right? He is the Lord our God who brought us out of the bondage of sin and set us free to live as he's called us to live. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, place me first in your life and in every area of your life. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or on the waters below. In other words, don't fashion me into an image of your own making. You let me be me. Let me be who I am for you. And then if you drop down to verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Use my name with respect. Honor my name. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And then we thought long and hard about that last week, didn't we? Yeah, this is a day that's been gifted to us by God. It's a day that's been set aside in the weekly rhythm of our lives for our physical and emotional, mental, and spiritual renewal. Above all else, use this day to refocus your minds and hearts on me, God is telling us. And then verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the day in the land the Lord your God is given you. Anybody here ever hear of Tim Berners-Lee? Tim Berners-Lee, doesn't surprise me, Eric. But that means that there are about 499 of us who have never heard of Tim Berners-Lee. Tim Berners-Lee is a very proud father, at least he should be. His child has grown up to be well-known, he's grown up to be powerful and immensely successful. If I were to ask Eric what his offspring was, Eric would say, well, the internet, of course. Why don't we all know it? Because we all benefit it. We all use it. It's such a large part of our lives. Tim Berners-Lee invented the World Wide Web, forever changing the way that people do business, entertain and inform themselves, build communities, exchange ideas, and he continues, by the way, to facilitate the growth of the web as the director of the World Wide Web Consortium. Didn't know there was such a body, but I learned that this week, as well as his position as the director of the MIT Laboratory for Computer Science. So most of us have not heard his name until this morning. And yet, his offspring belongs alongside of Gutenberg's press, Bell's telephone, Marconi's radio. Now you know about the internet. Tim is given really precious little honor for his parenting role. And that doesn't seem quite right. Here we are, all of us, and our North American culture, in fact, around the world, and who ever heard of Tim Berners-Lee? For those of us who benefit so much from his invention, you know, doesn't he deserve a little recognition and a little gratitude? But overlooking parents of ideas, patents, and widely used tools that have dramatically impacted our lives is nothing compared to the ambivalence and the indifference often showed to biological and adoptive parents. Enter the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, which means hold your father and mother in honor. Treat them with respect. I want to begin this morning by offering four reasons why we ought to honor our father and mother. And the first is this, that parents are essential in our formation as human beings. Parents bring life into the world. They provide for life in the world. They nurture and guide that life. They mold and shape our self-esteem. To a large degree, they shape our value system and the perspective that we have of life. They influence life in so many different ways until maturity is reached. And even when we have reached maturity, whatever they may mean to us, they continue to have influence in our lives. It's a basic fundamental fact of human existence that human beings in their early years, in our early years, need parents. And that's the way it is in God's creative order. That's the way it's intended to be. And that's why God wants us to honor and respect the position of mother and father. So that's the first suggestion. Parents are absolutely essential in our formative years. Secondly, respect for authority begins at home. Children need to be taught to honor, to respect, to obey their parents, because honor and respect are the basis for our attitudes towards authority in general. Here's the deal, friends. If a child doesn't honor his or her parent, he or she won't learn to live with authority anywhere else. With teachers, with coaches, with employers, ultimately with God. Children need to learn as they grow and as they develop that certain lines must be observed, certain lines must be drawn and heeded to, certain expectations must be met, and certain people must be respected and obeyed in order to survive in this world. And they learn that, or ought to learn that, from their parents. Here's the third thing. How you relate to parents may very well affect other relationships in your life. The way you relate to others is so often shaped by what happens at home. If you don't have healthy relationships at home, chances are that you may not have healthy relationships outside of the home, even as adult, when you act in a way that you can't quite understand. Well, what triggers this? Why do I feel this way? It may be because you are still reacting to something as it relates to your relationship with your parents. Many marriages have been hurt because a spouse has never resolved a relationship with a parent, and that spills over in the way that that person relates to his or her spouse or his or her child. So how you relate to your parents may very well affect your other relationships as well. And then finally, how you choose to honor your parents may determine how you will be honored. The best way I can try to get this point across is by calling your attention to this old Grimm's fairy tale about this old man who lived with his son and his son's wife and their four-year-old little boy. And the old man, you know, well-aged, his eyes blinked, his nose ran, his fingers and hands trembled, and when he ate, the silverware rattled against the plate, and when he lifted up his utensil to put the food in his mouth, more often than not, it would fall back on the plate and on the clean tablecloth, which upset the young mother because she didn't have to always want to deal with this mess and the trouble of taking care of her husband's father in his old age. But the problem was that he had nowhere else to go, nowhere else to live. And so the young parents decided the older he got, the more of a mess and distraction he became. The parents decided that they would have the father sit on a stool in the corner. And they gave him a bowl, and they would put his meal in the bowl, and there he would eat. And there he did eat, but he always looked at the table, because, you see, he wanted to be at the table with his family. One day, his hands trembled more than usual, and the bowl fell on the floor, and it shattered. "If you are a pig," they said, "then you must eat out of a trough." And so they fashioned a trough out of wood for this elderly man, and they put his meals in it. And then not long after, the couple came across their son, and he was playing with scraps of wood, and they asked him, "Well, what are you making?" And he looked at them with this very big and very proud smile, and he says, "Well, I'm making a feeding trough for you when I'm grown up." And the next day, the elderly father was back at the table, and there was never again a scolding word to be heard. You see, one day, how we have honored our parents may very well come back to us. Where do your children learn how to honor parents? Well, they learn from you. So the question is, what are they observing? What are you modeling? What are they learning? So how do we honor our parents? Well, it depends. If you think about it with me, this would make sense, right? It depends on what stage of life you're in. As a child, I honor my parents by obeying them. I honor my parents by respecting them. In fact, I respect them when I obey them, although respecting and obeying can be two different things. Ephesians 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment." Now, to obey your parents means to do what they say, right? This is pretty straightforward, isn't it? You do what they say, and you do it willingly, not grudgingly, not complaining, and you do it immediately, right? Because the Bible teaches that as long as you're under your parents' roof, you need to obey them. As long as you're dependent on your parents for, you know, shelter and for food and for clothing and for care and for a car, you need to do pretty much what they say, right? And you need to treat them with respect. So I didn't always hang out in my growing up years with a great bunch of friends. Although later on in my teen years, I sort of caught on. But earlier on, I didn't. And got involved in a group of friends that weren't all that helpful and encouraging for me. And, you know, one in particular would refer to his dad as my old man. But more often than that, it was like the old fool. And that never struck me as like okay to refer to your father that way. And I resolved then that I would never call my dad an old man, let alone an old fool, right? Kids, treat your parents with respect and show them that you love them and are so grateful for them. Now, somewhere down the line, as you begin to move from your childhood years and you become an adult and eventually you move out of the home on to your own, honoring your parents takes on a somewhat different slant. So I honor my parents as a young adult by respecting them as my parents, right? And appreciating them. Because, you know, that there are no perfect parents, and as we grow older, our ability to see the imperfections in our parents becomes more acute too, right? We see things in them as we, if we're honest with ourselves, see our own warts and blemishes and imperfections. But there are no perfect parents. And yet, in spite of their faults, you learn to honor them by accepting them. By accepting them. By the way, there are no perfect young adults either, right? And let's just be clear, none of us are. So whether we're talking about parents or a young adult or a child or an adult trying to honor an elderly parent, you know, none of us are perfect, and that's the fundamental problem. That's the human condition, right? That's a description of who we are and what we face. Now, here's the deal. If you live closely with someone for any length of time, there's going to be times of misunderstanding. There's going to be times of hurt and frustration and disappointment. But here's the corollary. Strong families know how to live with that. Strong families know how to forgive each other. Strong families know how to live and even respect, even when there are the inevitable rubs along the way. You honor your parents when you can forgive them and love them despite their faults, recognizing that we're all in this together as imperfect people. Accepting and respecting your parents means listening to what they have to say. And when you're out on your own, yeah, we get it. You're not bound. You're not bound by your parents' advice. Of course not. You're an adult. But then don't reject it too quickly either. Proverbs 23 says, listen to your father. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You know, listen courteously to your parents' opinions and their advice. They just might have, a wealth of information and life's experience that you just haven't had the time to acquire yet. So listen and consider. It's easy to take parents for granted. Most of us can honestly say that our parents have made a larger investment in our lives than anyone else. I didn't realize that until I became a parent myself. I had no idea what we were headed. I'll still never forget the phone call I received from Sandra. I had 4 years of graduate school left, and she tells me I'm pregnant. And I'm wondering, how in the world are we going to do this financially? I was making $65 a week at the time. How were we possibly? But you know, that wasn't the most important. What I should have been wondering is, how am I going to do this as a father? Because this is no small thing. I had no idea that a child And then multiple children would so alter our lifestyle, or how difficult it is to juggle the demands of being a full-time student and then fatherhood, or how challenging the role of a father would be. And ditto for Sandra, by the way. We were pretty naive. I just think about mothers particularly and how much they invest themselves in the lives of their children. Not to take anything away from a father's contribution, but my word. Parenting can be difficult, it can be time demanding, it can be emotionally, physically, mentally draining. For most of us, our parents have made a huge investment in our lives. They have loved us. They have gone to great lengths to do what is in our best interest. They have worried about us. They have prayed for us. They have made financial sacrifices for us. And yes, they have made mistakes. And I remember in my naivete, if not bordering on arrogance, I would in my more reflective moments, I would say to myself, oh, I'm never going to do what my mom and dad did here in this situation. I'm never going to find myself reacting that way. And you know what? Carbon copy. We've made mistakes as parents as well. But we never stopped trying to do what is best for us. And our parents have never stopped trying to do what is best for us, even as we haven't done for our children. Respect your parents and appreciate them at every stage of life. And I'm making a plea here for when you're a young adult now, particularly. And then there's the era in life when we establish our own homes, and now we're raising our own children, and we're pursuing our own careers. What then? Well, as an adult, I honor my parents by valuing, affirming, and caring for them. Here's the thing that I'm observing and have been for a little bit of time now, and now all four of our parents are gone, but here's the thing. Often, the older our parents get, the less love and respect and self-esteem they receive from the world that they live in. Particularly as they lose their capabilities. Their friends begin to pass away. They're no longer appreciated in the workplace for their skills and their wisdom. Their options become more and more restricted, particularly when their kids take away the keys to the car. You know how hard that is, not only for the parent, but also for the children who takes away the key out of deep love and concern. For many, the bright spot in an elderly, aging parent's life, the thing that gives them the most joy is what? Is what? Seeing their children. Being with their children. And their grandchildren. But here's the deal. Their children are in the busy years of raising their children. Their children are working so hard to support their families. So how do we affirm our parents? How do we honor them, affirm them, respect them? How do we bring joy to their lives? You stay in touch with them. You talk to them. You call them. You share what's going on in your life and the life of your children, right? You listen to their counsel. You give them the courtesy of a listening ear. What's going on in their hearts? What's going on in their minds? What are their fears? What are they wrestling with? Include your parents and family activities, your children's extracurricular activities, birthday parties, holidays. We were talking about this on the way to church this morning and trying to figure this out, but we think it was 2 years before Sandra's father died that she and her sister took her or their father on a road trip. This is after his wife had died, Sandra's mother had died. They took him on a 5-day road trip out east. You know why? He just wanted to reconnect with a couple of World War II Army buddies. There are any number of ways in which we can show our love for an aging parent. Any number of ways in which we can try to make them feel like they're valued. Finally, make sure that your parents are cared for. Well, we just conducted the funeral of Jack Glashauer. And I'll tell you what, Jack Glashauer, as you may know, lived with dementia for the last, 10 or 11 or 12 years. When Margaret passed away, you know, he was showing signs of dementia there. And I just hold up what I personally observed in that family as a beautiful and very moving way of honoring a parent. And I know that this is occurring here and there again and again throughout our congregation. I just don't know all the examples, but I know many of you are just honoring your parent by taking such wonderful care of them. You know, the Bible teaches us that it is our responsibility to care for our parents. This is what Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice. I love the way that that's stated. Put your religion into practice. How? By caring for their own family and so repairing their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. At one time, your father or your mother or both took care of you, fed you, provided for you, made it their mission to make sure that all of your needs are being met. And when they're no longer able to take care of themselves, the roles reverse, right? We do that for our aging parents. There comes a time when we need to do that, and there comes a time, too, when that level of care is beyond what we're able to provide, and our responsibility in those cases is to make sure that our aging parents are being properly cared for in appropriate way, all the while very involved in their life, all the while encouraging them, valuing them, loving them. It's instructive to me that as Jesus was dying on the cross, he was concerned about his mother. And so he instructed John to take care of his mother. Honor your father and your mother. God calls us to honor our father and mother in all stages of life. And we have to figure out what that looks like for us, because our situations are all a little bit different. But we have to figure that out. How can I honor my father and mother? Now, I want to close by saying this. I'm aware that this message may be painful for some of you here. And the reason that I'm aware of that is I'm aware that some of you have had parents that have not been honorable. I'm aware that some of you have had parents who have hurt you deeply, alcoholics, workaholics, abusive, neglectful, cause deep pain and disappointment for you, cold and uncaring, and parents who've walked out of your life. So what then? You know, what do we do with this commandment? What does God expect of us? Pretend that all is well and just figure, oh, we're just going to suck it up? God doesn't want, I'm pretty sure, God doesn't want us to hide our pain or to deny our pain. He wants you to identify what brought you pain and to grieve over it. He wants you to address it head on so as to be able somehow to end this cycle of pain. Because if you don't address your hurt, you will harbor bitterness and anger and resentment, and it will get the best of you, because bitterness and continued anger and resentment will lock your life up in the past. Ultimately, God wants you to be able to come to the point where you can forgive your parents and move on. And then that, is, I suppose, is a whole message and another half hour of thinking together by itself. But let me just say that what this might mean is to somehow sit down with a parent and talk about the hurt and the disappointment. But of course, that depends on your situation. And I don't want to stereotypify this and say, oh yeah, this is how it goes, right? That involves a great deal of honesty and a willingness on both parties to be honest and to entertain a very challenging conversation. If that's not possible, then share your pain with someone that you can trust who can help you come to terms with what you've been carrying around for all of this time. And then you say, well, Jack, easy for you to say this at the tail end of your message, because, you know, we don't have an opportunity to interact with you on this, and you're going to wrap this thing up in about 60 seconds, so fine, way to go. Well, I don't know what your situation is, and I'll be the first to acknowledge this. Maybe Pastor Mark does, I don't know. But I just want to say I am aware that there are some very difficult and challenging situations. And I want to say this too, that, you know, when God put this commandment on his top 10 list, he was very well aware that there would be no perfect parents. And he was very well aware that for some of this would be uniquely challenging. To whatever degree you are able, confront it, work through it, and heal from it in such a way that you can at least honor the fact. If nothing else, certainly you can't honor behavior, but you can at least honor the fact that your mother and your father were the ones who brought you into this world and gave you life. And either Pastor Mark or I would be very willing to sit down with anyone to talk about this. Want you to know that. Honor your father and your mother. That's God's word for us today. If you look at your back of your worship bulletin, do you have it? If you look at the back of your worship bulletin, this week I tried to offer in writing. Last week I gave you a verbal challenge, right? Asked you to work through it, to talk about, you know, what it meant to, as a family, engage in Sabbath rest around the dinner table. Here are some questions that you can address around the dinner table today, or you can look at during the course of the day, or tuck it into your Bible where you use for your devotions, pull it back out, and then revisit this commandment and this message. Here's some questions for you to sink your teeth into as an individual or as a couple or with your entire family. And then I suggested a prayer focus there, and then a process to help you concretize this message, to help you figure out how it is that you can take steps to make this commandment too a reality in your lives. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning, for this time of worship, for the privilege of being able to hear you speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue to reflect and ponder, work through, I pray, Lord, that you will give us insight and that you will help us to be more and more the people that you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.